Chapter 1. When the crops were under cover on the Wayne farm near Pittsford in Vermont, when the winter wood was cut and the first light snow lay on the ground, Joseph Wayne went to the wingback chair by the fireplace late one afternoon and stood before his father. These two men were alike. Each had a large nose and high, hard cheekbones. Both faces seemed made of some material harder and more durable than flesh, a stony substance that did not easily change. Joseph's beard was black and silky, still thin enough so that the shadowy outline of his chin showed through. The old man's beard was long and white. He touched it here and there with exploring fingers, turned the ends neatly under out of harm's way. A moment passed before the old man realized that his son was beside him. He raised his eyes, old and knowing and placid eyes, and very blue. Joseph's eyes were as blue, but they were fierce and curious with youth. Now that he'd come before his father, Joseph hesitated to stand to his new heresy. "There won't be enough in the land now, sir," he said humbly. The old man gathered his shawl of shepherd's plaid about his thin, straight shoulders. His voice was gentle, made for the ordering of simple justice. "What do you wish to complain of, Joseph? You've heard that Benji has gone courting, sir. Benji will be married when the spring comes, and in the fall there will be a child, and in the next summer, another child. The land doesn't stretch, sir. There won't be enough." The old man dropped his eyes slowly and watched his fingers where they rustled sluggishly on his lap. "Benjamin hasn't told me yet. Benjamin has never been very dependable. Are you sure he's gone seriously courting?" "The Ramseys have told it in Pittsford, sir. Jenny Ramsey has a new dress, and she's prettier than usual. I saw her today. She wouldn't look at me."
"Oh,
maybe it's so then. Benjamin should tell me. And so you see, sir, there won't be enough in the land for all of us." John Wayne lifted his eyes again. "The land suffices, Joseph," he said placidly. "Burton and Thomas brought their wives home, and the land sufficed. You're the next in age. You should have a wife, Joseph." "There's a limit, sir. The land will feed only so many." His father's eyes sharpened then. "Have you an anger for your brothers, Joseph? Is there some quarrel I haven't heard about?"
"No, sir," Joseph protested. "The farm is too small, and..."
He bent his tall body down toward his father. "I have a hunger for land of my own, sir. I've been reading about the West and the good, cheap land there." John Wayne sighed and stroked his beard and turned the ends under. A brooding silence settled between the two men while Joseph stood before the patriarch, awaiting his decision.
"If you could wait a year," the old man said at last. "A year or two is nothing when you're 35. If you could wait a year, not more than two, surely, then I wouldn't mind. You're not the oldest, Joseph, but I've always thought of you as the one to have the blessing. Thomas and Burton are good men, good sons, but I've always intended the blessing for you, so you could take my place. I don't know why. There's something more strong in you than in your brothers, Joseph. More sure and inward. But they're homesteading the western land, sir. You have only to live a year on the land and build a house and plow a bit, and the land is yours. No one can ever take it away. I know. I've heard of that. But suppose you should go now. I'll have